So we pray, Father, we pray you'll solemnize our hearts by the Holy Spirit within us, and that particularly your sovereign dictate that we may be low at your feet and quick to listen and very slow at speaking, Father, quickly listening to what you have to say and even more quickly turning away from what we have to say, so that we may know what you have to say and that life in us be nourished and fed by your living word, and then we in turn somehow to be more and more those living epistles read and known of all men. Help this church, Lord, every one of us to be that which you would have us to be, Lord, for that's what we desire. Perhaps we're very weak-willed at this point, but you said those who wanted to know your will were willing to do your will, they would know the doctrine. We pray, Lord, that knowing that doctrine will strengthen our will as never before, to walk in the light as you are in the light, have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all our righteousness, Lord, and serving you by serving each other, loving you, particularly by loving each other, just being children of the light under the guidance of our dear Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, last night we got into the beginning, and we're looking way back there in the book of Genesis when this plan of God in relationship to man, where God was going to, did start to bring forth a family in Genesis, which ends in Revelation chapter 22 as the New Jerusalem. And there are certain truths in there that perhaps might have escaped you by not having just looked through the scriptures in a manner which we might say is exploratory, but actually revelatory by the Holy Spirit. And we took Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you want to, you can put that beginning way, 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 way back somewhere. Heavens knows where you put it back. But if you go to the second chapter, you'll be kind of abruptly brought to a halt by being reined in, because it says, thus the heavens and earth were finished. You see, God created heavens and earth. And there's a 6,000-year span in there. So what? No matter what went ahead, where Brother Branham talks of that cooling-off period of millions of years, and scientists recognize even billions of years, you're not really involved with that. You're not at all involved. You're involved with 6,000 years of God creating, recreating, renovating, fashioning, and refurbishing, and so on. And it says here then, the heavens, earth, and the host of them were finished. On the seventh day he rested, because he rested from all the work that he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And these are the generations of the heaven and earth when they were created in the day the Lord God made the heavens. And what's a generation? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 years, one in a row. You see what he started? He said, the first day let there be light. Wasn't that what he said? God said, let there be light, and there's light, and God said it was good. Now, you realize that took 1,000 years. Brother Branham said he could have said that word, and the word would have to come to pass. It was thousands of years. Now, this leaves us open to a lot of spiritualizing, where we would say, well, now, you know, and you know, that's all we say, you know. In other words, we're great thinkers, and we've got this thing all figured out. But my Bible tells me God worked hard, and God was tired. Now, you don't rest unless you get tired. Why would you rest if you don't get tired? See? You're not like the maid that years ago in the funny paper I read, Andy Gump. He had hired old Tilda. And she was always sitting down and eating. He said, listen, when I hired you, he said, you told me you never got hungry and you never got tired. She said, certainly, I eat before I get hungry and I rest before I get tired. You know, that's how we read the Bible. God doesn't get tired. I know there's a spiritual thing in there, but I want to impress you that this is why God destroys them that destroy the earth, because he's destroying the handiwork of his hands which he labored over. To get some new ideas about God. Time to get cooking on different burners. And what we've been doing for all of our lives as Christians. My Bible tells me this. I'm not going to deny it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to admit to it and say, Lord, I don't understand, but you do understand. Praise God, that's exactly the truth. You see? And let's understand this. He said, labor to enter into your rest. Is God going to tell me something to do he hasn't done? Come on. I've taught this God becoming flesh down. We'll get out of here next week. God becoming flesh, I've taught it and taught it. You know where I'm coming from. And I believe I'm coming right from the Scripture by the word that Brother Branham gave, by the understanding of the Holy Spirit. These are the generations of heavens and earth when they were created in the day that God made the earth and the heavens. Notice, in the day that God made the earth and the heavens. You say, well, maybe that day, he had one day when he made those things, that which you're talking about, and that day was, could be billions of years. Sure, it could be. But the days he's talking about here are generations. Or you could say, well, that's a long day until he dissolves the whole thing and starts anew. That could be perfectly correct. Not going to fuss at anybody over anything. I just want you to see what we're looking at here. And when I brought it out to you, I showed you that the formula that we often pass out concerning creation is the word bara, which means to make something from nothing. And so God made something from nothing, something from nothing, something from nothing. I say, hold it. You're just a little off your rocker on that. Because I can show you where God does not use the word bara, but he says, let there be light, and the thing was spoken into existence. So it amounts to the same thing. Well, yes, it does, and yet it doesn't, because you get different understandings. You get deeper insight. So, I pointed out last night, God the Creator versus God the Spirit. Now, you notice the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the water, and you notice that this, though, is the Spirit of God, it doesn't. It's not saying God created in the term of God being an object of worship. So God must have had worship when this first scripture was written, in the beginning God created the earth. Then it says here in the first chapter, second verse, the Spirit began to move, which shows you now in my understanding here that this is God, though he is God, and he's sovereign, though he is worship, he is doing this sovereignly. And you can see by what God is doing, you can see his very nature. That's what I understand the Spirit of God to really mean. The nature of God, by reason of the fact that he is manifesting, not only talking to us, but he's manifesting. And you can pick up his nature. See? And when you read the book of Genesis, especially the first two chapters, and get to the place where God puts this man and woman in the Garden of Eden and gives them a paradise, you can literally see God is love, because he's pulsating with love. He's not only wisdom, omniscience, he's not only omnipotence. Those two together could run wildfire, be destructive, and be diabolical, as we understand the term evil. But you see, essentially, God is love. So we are never under duress or in any problem with the power of God and with the wisdom of God, because God is love. Now, if we can't understand from this, if Adam and Eve couldn't understand the love of God, oh, fat. And yet, in spite of it, they betrayed God. Now, this is the truth that I'm telling you. Because if you look in your Bibles carefully, you're going to find that God demands our love before he says anything of his love. Now, come on, read your Bibles. You're going to find out, because I looked into it. Why? Because everything about God, which is visible in nature, as nature is and should be, basically, you know that whoever's behind it is a very loving, marvelous institution within himself. So, all right, we see here now God bringing everything to the place of complete perfection for this couple he's going to put in there to start the God family. And here's how it works. God the Creator, one speaking and thereby bringing forth that which previously was not there. Let there be light. God doing the necessary about something that needs to be done. He divided the water from the waters. God speaking and not creating but commanding the inanimate to form into patterns and positions according to his plan. Let the dry land appear and the waters be divided. God, number four, allowing. That's letting nature follow established natural laws. Like let the waters be gathered together. Why? If he hadn't have said that, nothing would have happened. The water could be up here in a pool and hanging in space. But he instituted gravity. Nobody knows what gravity is. Nobody's got a formula. Maybe it's magnetics. Maybe it's this. I simply say it's God. Spoken word right here. He caused nature to be fully cooperative, synergistic, everything about it, to be in a unity. Number five, God speaking and causing the cooperation of all that was there to be exhibited as to the purpose each part of the earth was designed for. A, the earth, that's the soil, and those things to bring forth the seeds which were there. See, cooperating. The seeds needed the soil needs the seeds. What happens if there's no plant life out there? Erosion. You take a look at, remember, North Africa at one time was the wheat bin of the world. They say that lions roamed up there, elephants roamed. It was God's country. What happened? Rome roamed in there, that's what happened. Rome's the killer. Hey, if you don't believe that, read your Bibles. I'm talking about Rome, not as the Catholic Church which took over that Rome, but it gnashed with its teeth and destroyed everything in its way. It sowed the places to salt when it conquered them. So smarten up, because somebody may think Lee Vale is vitriolic, he's just mean old sourpuss. Well, I'm all that too. But what are you? See any sweet lollipops gyrating around here with love oozing out in honey? Of course they haven't tried to find out. They're pretty good, though. See, well, you know what I'm talking about. I gotta soften things the odd time. The earth was to bring forth the seeds synergistically. What they took out of the soil, they later on put back. How do you build your soil? By legumes and those other crops that put in the nitrogen and so on. And yet they wouldn't do too much good except you had the lightning bolts and the thunder roaring to bring it into further play. All right, B, the earth to give animals to the animals and all life at that time except the bodies of Adam and Eve. That's where we come from. We came from the earth. The sea was the habitat for whales. And when he created them, of course, it came from the soil. Every body comes from the soil. It all does. Although the minerals and all were in the ocean there, you know, it's a good country. They were cooperated. See, six. God actually creating, not speaking. It just said God created. Of course, we know it was by speech, but that's all right. Number seven. God forming. That means to bring forth, or rather, to take and to squeeze, to bring into position, actually form it. And then number eight. God making, which means to bring forth. Whichever way he wants to do it. It could be a progression. It could be a series. Like there is an evolution, Brother Branham spoke of. Man's the highest order of animal. Man's a mammal. They're mammalian, but it doesn't mean they're animal, as animals are animal, because animals don't have souls. We'll go in and see why we look at this. Now, having pointed this all out, it is not our purpose to try to define all of this and use it as laws. In other words, to write a scientific test and say, a text and say, look at this, look at this, look at this. And then, no, that's not the idea. See, but to show that this beginning was a long one and only reached its ultimate or goal in Genesis 2, 1 to 4, because there were processes included which could have taken 600 to 1,000 years or even longer. And God worked at it. Now, there again, I can see the work ethic of God. I do not understand it. You can say, well, I believe God is energy and he expended energy and it cost him something. Well, I don't believe that hogwash at all. No, God is spirit. Three things concerning him: omniscience, omnipotence, essentiality of love. Just let it go there. Don't try to bring stuff in there. But you see, you could take this and you could just run yourself and everybody ragged just trying to make this work out into ecology. Forget it. We don't need ecology anymore. It's over. You're not going to get people to believe in ecology anyway, because the love of money is the root of all evil, and the little spotted owl up there in Oregon's got to go, because they say these workers will need bread. Oh, they need money. Oh, yeah. But what's behind it? We need their vote. Now they're finding out why George Bush went over there to Malta with a good old pal, Gorbachev, and it was a rotten, miserable situation. And the reason was because his brother has connections with travel agencies, everybody else that took it. But Bush says, no, my brother wouldn't do that. I wouldn't trust George Bush as far as I could throw a bull by the tail. That means I don't trust Clinton either. Slick Willie. And Perot proved what he was. You see, you're going to vote, Brother Bill? Just voted. I'm sorry about that, but I just speak my mind as it comes along here. If I haven't got a mind, I speak that too. See, all right. We're looking at this long term in there of how God was doing things, see? Now, when Genesis 2 and 3 is read, which we read it, I know we did. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. We must not believe this as though God no longer creates, he no longer speaks, he no longer forms, he no longer makes, he no longer fashions or directs or redirects. He just sits back there now because everything is put into motion, and he said, now let her go. That is a lie. God still creates. It happened under Moses. It might have happened under Paul. Just because there's no mention didn't mean that it didn't happen. What do you think happened under Elisha? Was that a creative act? That dead oil multiplied? If that's not a creative act, you tell me what it is. You say, well, it's a renewal. Well, you come up here with a pot of dead oil and renew it. Come on, big mouth. And these tapes go many places in the world. I like the big mouths from Asia, Africa, and all over. Go on, step up and show me. And don't try any stupid Houdini trick, because what I'll do, I'll put your hands behind your back and strip you naked and hose you down. Oh, yeah. I'm not fooled by these Indian fakirs that, you know, they by these stupid authors, and they say, well, this great, you know, guru, he is very smiling, and he stops the katataka, and he goes in his sand, and he fiddles in the sand, and then he brings forth a smiling Buddha. Well, the hand is always slicker than the eye. Hey, you know why I'm sarcastic and why I'm so sick? I don't read the Bible enough. I read a lot of these other things. And honestly, my stomach turns. I get a little faint from reading the Bible because it convicts me. But it never makes me vomit. But I actually feel many times nauseated even talking about the things which come against this word, and people swallow that junk. Imagine a sleight of hand expert. Well, that's got to be the image of God. Come on, Houdini, show him who God really is. Or David Copperfield, he's excellent. He can make an elephant disappear. Does he? Yeah. What about the Empire State Building? I heard that went too by illusion. I like William Brand, who stood there, and when you smarted off, he got just as solid and sour as a rock and read you for what you were, and you couldn't hide if you tried. Get that joke. Let's get on reading here. Yes, the third verse does not put God in a static position. In fact, I believe he's been busier than ever since man got out of control. This is merely the beginning or the foundation from which God now works, where God and mankind really start to move in the purpose or plans that God had foreknown and is now predestinating. Here is the point. All of this was necessary to implement Genesis 1:28 and 29, which tells you of the multiplication and the taking over of the earth. And notice in Genesis 2, 5, and 6, what we read over there. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the earth. And this is written in spite of Genesis 1 and 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind, whose seed is in itself. You can see the progression. See? And the ultimate, it was for man to take over. Now, we're going to go to start up again. In Genesis 2 and 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, here we will notice something very soon that is in here. Already I read it to you, that God has done that is overwhelmingly wonderful, being based upon what he had previously done, and which if it had not been done, this could not have happened. Now, in Genesis 1, 26, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then he qualified by looking down the road, and let them have dominion, and so on. And in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. All right. When he said, let us make man in our image, he said, let us bring forth man, let us produce man in our image. And to bring forth and produce positively shows a progression which is going on. So, first of all, he starts with saying, let us make man, or bring him forth in our image. And Brother Branham said, when that is spoken there, it absolutely categorically means that God being spirit, he made, to begin with, Adam, an absolute spirit man. Now, that is exactly true. So, God created, after he spoke, in this type of creation, because he said, let's make man in our image. So God creates. And after he spoke, Adam was then a spoken into existence spirit man. That's what he was. He was a spoken into existence spirit man. God said it. And when he said it, that's his omniscience being expressed. His omnipotence immediately into action brought forth this spirit creature or creation. Now, this is not 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter and verse 1. Now, let's go back there and take a look at it and understand by the prophet's true interpretation from the pillar of fire that wrote it, here to interpret it. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, or this earthly house being our tabernacle, our tent, were dissolved, died, it's gone, boom. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. So Brother Branham already telling us that this is not a theophonic form, which it certainly is not. It is a spirit body. That's what it is. One place he calls it having bypassed the word body to be tested. Here is the beginning. Now, then there is another creative act with that. Where it says here, let us make man in our image. And it says here, God created the man in his image, made a spirit man. Then it says, male and female created he them. Now you could say that the last phrase is a repetition or it is a clarification of the first phrase or phrases that say, God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him. Well, I don't see it that way because I don't believe if God cannot say it the first time right, he's going to say it the second time right. Now, you think what you want. I'm not saying you got to believe what Lee Dale is saying. I'm just saying I'm presenting to you what I see here and what I feel is in here. That God is saying here, I'm doing this creation by two acts of creation. Now, first of all, it says, let us make man. Of course, we know that can be generic. Let us make man their image. After our likeness. So he created man his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created them. Now, I can't believe that those two statements are exactly the same thing with one the clarification of the other, because my Bible tells me that the headship of man is Christ, and of Christ God, and it says the man was made in the image of God, but the woman in the image of the man. Right? Oh, come on, is that Corinthians or not? It's Corinthians. So, I see here, as I've said already, that creation doesn't necessarily mean something made from nothing. But it's in this creation we're looking at. We're looking at it all. The whole expanse. There are gradations, series, progressions, necessities coming out. Not as though God is evolving with his plan, but the plan must evolve itself in certain steps by omniscience, omnipotence, and love. So, I have the New Testament to back me. Man in the image of God and woman in the image of man. Now, if we just look at it. We see then what could well be, and I believe to be, a duo creation or a dupe. And in here you have a male and a female spirit. And you will notice then right away that there must be a big difference. Now, God creates this being to the result of 1:28. He blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. The word subdue is not a violent word, as I showed you in the New Testament. It's a word of order. Govern it. Notice how the people in America have a government? Huh. If you want to see corruption, dissolution, misery, and pure crud made from what is grand and glorious, which was the American nation, you've got a government that does it, and it does it by subjection. They don't have the first clue to what it means to rule and to govern. They're predators, liars. Until Brother Branham said, there's not one politician can make a true decision. The only decision they can make is with cash register signs in their eyeballs and the clink of the money flowing in their coffers because they've sold out to the love of money. And I don't care who is running for office. You only talk about money in the other guy's pockets until you can get your hand in there yourself. Yeah. Yeah. So, what we read here is toward the end that this take place. Now, so he further creates and divides this light into male and female spirit. The singular is divided and made dual for the purpose of procreation so Adam can reproduce himself, quoted back from the prophet. Anybody knows that? God recognizes two for procreation, but only one for life. That's why their name was Adam. Now, from Genesis 1, 26a and 27, which we read, let's make man or image after likeness, let him have dominion, so on. God created man in his own image. The image of God created male and female created him. There are four acts that proceed from God. Now, you that like systematic scripture, you just keep listening. There are four acts that proceed from God. Okay. Number one, God speaks in counsel, let us make man. Number two, God creates, he created. Number three, God further creates. Now we saw that, image of God and woman's in the image of man. Now come on, did Paul the apostle make a mistake from Genesis? Hold it, don't you dare tell me he did, because I say right now, hey, you don't even understand what a prophet's all about. You haven't got a clue. See, we're talking in terms of infallibility. And infallibility brings reliability. Because infallibility is complete fidelity. The unchanging God. All right. Now, he creates, he further creates. Then in Genesis 2 and 7, he puts Adam, only one person still, in a body by forming the earth. That's literally squeezing it. You will notice here there are four creative acts or acts in this particular area of bringing forth this man to where he can be put in the Garden of Eden and have a wife. And you know, four is deliverance. And in this verse, you will find that man is delivered from the animal kingdom, though he's still animal. For it says in this verse, God, Lord God, which signifies right here, the Elohim who is the master. We're not talking too much now just about worship, although that's there. We're talking about master, owner. Like God said, all souls are mine. The owner. The owner worthy of worship. He literally breathed into Adam's nostril. Now the breath of God, as Brother Branham declared so truly, is not simply air or resuscitation of a body that had everything going for it, but just needed a jolt for the lungs to start moving. This was indeed the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit himself, in a measure, actually imparted into this man, Adam. Now, here is where you see the stupendous thing that is in this verse. This is neither creating, speaking, making, or forming. It is God breathing his own Holy Spirit into Adam, and this man, Adam, who was created and made and formed from spirit to flesh of clay, is not only spirit and body, but now is a soul man as well. You understand what I'm saying? You now got body, soul, and spirit. Before, you only had body and spirit. I know some of you don't look too alive at what I'm saying, because this is not getting you. You just don't see this message. Because here is what Brother Branham has taught concerning the sonship of sons and the sovereignty of God.
And if you don't see it, you don't see what Brother Branham is saying and where he gets it. See, here is where he got his soul. And the soul was not created. It did not have a beginning. You understand what I'm saying? Now, it had a time of its manifestation. But Adam now receives a part of God. It is the gene of God, the gene spirit that Adam now has. It is now filling the spot that God left in Adam, which was a place for a soul, which the serpent also had a place for a soul, but he wasn't given one. And here is where man is delivered from the animal kingdom. And this is where you better start looking around and understanding, brother, sister, whatever the serpent seed's got, it ain't got what the wise and foolish virgin has, because they go right back to natural brute beasts, and there isn't any deliverance. There is no redemption for them. It ever has been and ever will be. Because they never were a part of it. The basic translation in this verse is, and God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And here is where we see the natural election of God. As it says, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. That means in identical manner, see? So we understand that. Man became a living soul. It is here now that Adam becomes the vessel that God wants him to be, whereby he can take care of the whole earth, the animals, and everything else, because he has this gene from God. Remember, the spirit of the beast goes downward, and the spirit of man goes upward. And remember, even though there is in Scripture the indication, and it could be just a matter of rendering the word not the way it should be, but it's in the lexicon there. In some places it mentions the beast, animals having a soul. But let me tell you this, there is no place where God breathed into any animal outside a man the breath of life. So if the animal does have a soul, he ain't got a soul that came from God. Because the Bible just said, let the earth bring forth, period. But you notice what man went through, all those fashionings and formings, until God could breathe his life into him. So, you understand now more perfectly what we are saying. And Adam now becomes the one, through natural processes, that this soul comes on down into each child of God in every single age, and there isn't one that doesn't possess it in that manner. See, I know people have their own idea. The soul is floating around. They're out somewhere, and somewhere just pop into you. That is, oh, come on. Hey, if you're going to be a born-again believer in this message, please do not come near me if you talk like that. I mean, hey, as I said, my stomach is queasy. And I'm not crazy. This makes us see what Brother Branham said, which is basically, man is tripartite. He is spirit and body. His spirit and body are created and formed. They began, but the gene of God in the soul is eternal. See? In other words, the soul is of God originally and was in him. And so it is eternal. That's why he said there will come a day when you realize you didn't get saved the time you thought you were. You always were saved. And that's why the Bible said the seed of God cannot sin, but it keeps itself. You tell me how a seed of God could do anything but keep itself. Then you got God, a potty God. Now let's go the whole measure. He's male and female. Oh, let's dance around the mulberry bush and create and concoct our own God and say, now we are God. Hallelujah. Speak in tongues if you want. Who cares? You've got to come to grips to where you put out your own thinking, Pentecostal jitterbug thinking, your Baptist cemetery thinking, your Methodist prohibition thinking, and every other thinking you might have. See, however, please note what has happened. So let's go to the Bible and see what's happened. Genesis 1:26. Let's make man in our image. And he's going to do it. He created man. He's male and female spirit. Then he puts this individual. the spirits together, but it's still just Adam. It's that one life he's looking at, made in the image of God. Puts him in a body of clay. Now over here in the second chapter, verses 18 to 25, won't take time to read it, but it tells you that, notice what it says in verse 18, and God said, it's not good that man shall be alone. I'll make a helpmeet for him. Now watch. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. Hey, does that mean he just formed it at that time? No, they already were formed. So he puts Adam right there with the beasts, with the animal kingdom. Because he's part of it. But being a part of it is only in this way that he's flesh and blood and procreates and would have children. The same as animals. But he's got a soul. And he's the Son of God. From the very gene of God. From his soul there. And God formed all these animals and the fowls. And he brought the animals before Adam. And Adam named them. All the beasts of the field. He got that far. But amongst them, there was not one like him of his own species. Now these beasts were already in the world and multiplying. And Adam was supposed to multiply himself too. But he didn't have one of these species. One awful close to it called the beast, the serpent. So the Lord God, what did he do? He took it, put a sleep. He first anesthetic ever used. That's the only kind there should be. Let God do it. Made an operation. Took out a rib. Closed the flesh. And he made a woman out of it. Now, why would he take a rib? Well, I think myself that's a little bit more symbolic than maybe the rib itself, though I don't discount it. Because what happens? The blood is made in the marrow of the bone. So maybe it's in the rib too if it forms. I don't know. I'm not a doctor and I'm not a biologist. You know anything about that? Is the bone formed down here only? Where is it formed? That's where it's formed. So, all right, it's logical. That's exactly where it should come from. Because the life is there. And if you got the life there and you got the starter for the bread, the yeast and the starter, which is the yeast, huh? And you got the things there, you're going to make bread. So he brings it out. And all he does a chemical transformation. And you think for 1 minute God quit creating? Never did. She's out there in another name. Brother Brand said she's out of the original creation. It sure was right. She certainly was. Let's picture what God's going to do again. Create anew the bride. Not through sex, but through, as Brother Branham named off some of the elements. By the miracle of resurrection, God's going to do it himself. He said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And this cause a man to leave father and mother, be joined to his wife. And notice he said, this is my flesh of my flesh. See? Bone of bone, flesh of flesh. All right, now, you can see here what he's talking about. This is that one now of his own likeness, of his kind, just identical to him, comes the animal up to the top where a daughter of Almighty God, and here they are now in order to bring forth the family on the earth. Now we know they went about it wrong, but we're not going to worry about that. We're going to go to Genesis, the 5th chapter, and we're going to read, because here's where I'm interested. This is the generation of Adam, and the day God created man, the likeness of God created him. Then it says, male and female created them and blessed them. They see the same words exactly. And she's made in his image. This is God could say, this is now my son, and in my image. And Adam could say, I'm the son of God in God's image, but Eve could not say that. Because Adam's her image. You can say what you want, but I read in my Bible. Over there in the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, in the day they're created. And that was a progression. And notice especially, he puts the emphasis on the male and female in the day they were. And he's talking now of generations. And the generation could not stop or start until they're in physical bodies and could procreate. So the essentiality of male and female lies in the human body and their organs, and not near as much in the spirit as some people want to put it. Although we do admit a woman has a feminine, what Brother Branham called a feminine spirit, like you'd say the man is womanish and the woman is mannish, signifying that the attributes there that you can see do not pattern according to reality. Something has slipped in and something is screwy. I've seen so many of these homosexuals, and I'm sorry for them, because you can tell they were born wrong. Now, some of them just made homosexuals of themselves. They're just filthy pigs. But you can tell the way they walk, and there's sort of a baby fat with them, and every old good God. You just look at this. I don't mean to hurt anybody. I don't run them down to the sense I want to be mean to anybody, beat anybody up. I'm 100% against that. They've got their rights. Let them have their rights. They've got no right in the Bible. They've got no right in the assembly of God doing those things. We put our foot down the best we can. I know if we went against it too much and put anybody out, they could sue us, everything else, because the government says, forget the Bible, you are going to serve me. That's our government. You think that I'm going to stand back and weep when it gets all burnt up? Listen, if I get burnt up with it, praise God, it's gone. At least I'm not causing somebody else a bunch of crud and crap. Now, come on, take your stand with me, brother, sister. Don't be a bunch of jerks. God's got to burn us up. Like Brother Brandon said, if we're not bright, God help us get out of the way. Let's have something going for us. Yes, I mean something going for us, because they've got nothing going for them. Now, it says here, Adam made in the likeness of God. And they begat children, begot a son in his likeness, after his image. Notice it's going down now. Just like the woman now. Anything from that point on. The days of Adam, after he'd begotten Seth, were 800 years. He begot sons and daughters. Now, with that, we're going to read over here in Luke 3, which I've read before on occasions, because we want to link the whole thing up, because it's the same Holy Spirit of God that wrote the Bible or threw it in the junkie. And it says in 3:38, that's way over yonder, lots of writing in the genealogy, this which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was of God. So who was his maker? Who was his father? Adam was. I mean, God was. So we see that Adam was a true child of Almighty God. Now, Brother Branham said, and you understand why now, if you didn't have representation then, you don't have it now. Now remember, brother, sister, when you come to those that are of God, you have firstborn and born ones. And firstborn are those patterned after Christ in the first resurrection. The born ones, of which there would be millions, and we all qualify there, but not as a firstborn, and I'll tell you why. They are the foolish virgin. Now, if you want to understand this more thoroughly, you go to Philippians. And in Philippians, the 3rd chapter... you will find what we're talking about. And Paul says here in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of the resurrection, even the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I may attain unto the resurrection. No, sir. If I may attain to the out resurrection, or from among those that are dead and will be resurrected, I may be chosen to be the ones that come up first, while the rest stay there. Now, every child of God is going to make the resurrection. He will be there, but they will not necessarily be in the throne. They will not be New Jerusalem. They will be those on the outside who bring their glory in. And with that also, seeing God does in threes, you're going to find 144,000, and they will be those called eunuchs, virgins, who take care of the bride, and they serve always around the Lamb. All right. Let us note the progression of Adam, spirit, body, and soul. God created the spirit of Adam, and consequently Eve. That's A. B. God made the body from earth and put the spirit into it. Yeah. C. He then gave him his soul, or God's own life. This is the original order of necessity because of the theophany. Now, what is the theophany? The Brother Branham uses that word, it's perfectly legitimate, but it really means theophanera, which means God showing forth. All right. If we started with a soul first, which would be from God, and it's now time to manifest, it would of necessity produce a body commensurate and from it, being a part of God. Oh yeah, it would have just naturally come forth. Like when God said, when Brother Branham said a light formed, and this Paul tells you in Hebrews 1, let me read it for you so we don't get our wires crossed and think we're going off into a deep end. You know, hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the ages, this Son, who being the brightness, the effulgence, the outflowing of his glory, the express image or the expression of his purpose, upholding all things by the word of his power. It tells you right there, you're looking at Jesus, the Son of God, you're literally seeing God. Because he was the manifestation of that light. That's what we're saying here. That light will manifest itself according to the plan and purpose of God. And it wasn't God's purpose at that time for that one to produce that body. So he couldn't do it first. So what does he do? He starts with spirit. Puts it in a body. Then puts a soul in there. And now he's got what he wants. You see? Now, you'll notice that Adam and Eve sinned. The child born of Adam and Eve was not Cain. That was born of Eve and the serpent. She's the mother of all living. Doesn't say Adam was the father of all living. Don't ever put that in your Bible because that wouldn't be true. Adam is not the father. You say, well, Eve was the mother, Adam's the father. That's a lot of hogwash. It's a lie in the pit of hell. You put something in your Bible, God will add you the plagues. In other words, you'll pay for it. Yeah. Adam was not the father of all living. Eve was the mother. Adam was the father of Abel, and Cain slew him. See? Now, by this time, you can see that man has come to a position which is strictly untenable for that theophonic form, as you'd call it. And as Brother Branham said so clearly, he bypassed that word form, that spirit form, that theophonic form, to be placed in flesh in order to be tempted. How could Adam even be tempted if he'd given that soul first? Couldn't do it. He had to have a body of flesh in order to do it. Now that's how we come, that's what I understand from Brother Branham's message. Okay. Now, Brother Branham reversed the order through revelation. It is not body, soul, spirit. It is spirit, body, soul. And the soul is on the inside of the body. The spirit is on the outside. Not outside your body. You know what I mean? You know how how we're formed as a tripartite being. Three parts to one creature. So that Brother Branham said, this is the reason you can be anointed by the Holy Ghost and not be baptized with the Holy Ghost. You can have gifts, but never the giver.
Amen.
Because he works through the spirit. Because the soul is the link of the body and its life to God. And the spirit is the link to the outside through the senses and the mind. But when you deal with the soul, you deal only with the Word of God, and you must bypass the mind and its senses.
Amen.
Now, let us prove to you from Brother Branham that the soul comes by natural resources, but it's supernatural in the natural. In other words, in that sperm is that soul, that life which is from God, a genuine life from God. Now, you can have a life without it. That's, we got it already. I don't understand it all, but I understand this much. Brother Branham categorically said to a Mormon whose wife aborted a baby shortly before it was born. And brother, you know the Mormons, you know, they're very, very polygamous. And they've been sold this bill of goods that God's got all these souls up there that needs bodies. And they're only too happy to have 100 wives to make sure every soul gets a body. Oh, yeah, they're a bunch of whoremongers. Don't come to me with your Mormon stuff around here. I should boot you from with the door. Well, I can't do that, but I can have somebody do it for me. Or I'll make it so hot for you, you won't stick around anyway. You shake me, you never shake my hand. Go on, forgive it. I won't say, God bless you, worship. Because you're not blessed to God. Think I'm going to bless what God hasn't blessed? I do it inadvertently sometimes, but I'll have to answer for it. So we're not Mormons. See? That's a funny name, isn't it? More man. Do you think you're more of a man because you have more sex? You're more of a man if you don't. More of a woman. Keep of your marriage and live it. So I'm a good thing to you. Well, let us soak in. Okay. Brother Branham said, you will see that baby in heaven. Now come. If the baby's only muscles, twitching muscles and nerves, until it drops from the womb, breathes, and a spirit is there to receive it, it does not actually have life. Then it must have a life if it's going to be up there. So you're talking about two kinds of life right now. Now this is why it took Brother Branham to show exactly why abortion is murder. Now that's a very saddening thing, because we realize over the years there have been multitudes murdered. It's akin to genocide. It is genocide. But even then, as Paul murdered many people, people are forgiven for this. But because they're forgiven doesn't mean it should be practiced. And this is why the world is going straight to hell in a handbasket or anything else you want to put on it. And God is going to judge it because murder is rampant. Because from your tiny kids in school, they are taught sex. The girls are screaming for it. The boys are screaming for it. And as they get pregnant, the teacher will make sure that you can have an abortion, and you become a murderer.
Amen.
Now, if your parents don't teach your kids that, I will meet you at the white throne. And I'll look all you nice little girls in the eyes, and all you nice little boys. And your murders. The woman is a sacred vessel for childbearing. We live in a sensual, sex-dominated world where the love of money has perverted everything and everybody. And the abortion clinics only have one thing in mind, and that is your dollar bill. And the teachers and those that promulgate this hogwash and this moral corruption and these men in authority do it for one reason: to excuse themselves. Yep. I'm telling you the truth. Okay. So Brother Branham said the soul was on the inside, where the Word of God gets down through the Spirit. It has to come by the Spirit and by the mind. And if there is a place in the heart which means the gene of God in the soul that is there is there. As the spirit can only look at the material things of God, you better believe the soul can only look at the spiritual things of God. And therefore, it's incumbent of us to bring the mind under control and at all times attempt to put the Word of God. Even as the Scripture said, I kept thy word before me continuously. And Moses was commanded to make little phylacteries, little boxes with the word in it, and hang it on the forehead just between the eyes so the eyes would always see it. Bump, 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 word, 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 bump, 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 word, 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 on the wrist. No matter what you do, word, 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 word. Or the bells on the garments, or the same little thing on the ankles, word, 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 because that's the only way to go. So we see, my brother Branham said, the soul or gene or God life bypassed its theophany, or spirit body or word body. God started with the created spirit, then formed the body, then the eternal soul was breathed into it. Adam knew this. That's why he wanted to get to the tree of life and live forever. If he could just get there, everything is so nice now. Let me get there, let me get there. See, oh, I could stand this. No. The cry was there, but it was too late. What the soul was made for was not going to get at that time because he'd fallen. He'd become mortal. And he couldn't make immortality except by the grave. Now, here is a point to make. Where does it say God, God's Spirit, God's life, God's Word is male or female? Now, you ought to know, but I was going to hit that again. Well, Brother Vail, the Spirit. I'm talking about soul, honey.
Amen.
I'm talking to the same guy that understood and preached that God tore the soul out of Jesus. And Brother Branham's own sermon, giving his words to the dialogue of Jesus, said, they are going to put a spear in my side and break the blood cell, and my life will go forth and unite with the Father's, and we will come back upon the people. That's at Pentecost. That was the soul he tore out. I want to find a female and a male. I want to also find where there are female spirits waiting to get a female baby and a male spirit waiting to get a male baby. Ain't no female spirits. They're sexless. They may have male figures. As Brother Branham mentioned the male, he did not mention by those organs that specifically make him male, he mentioned by his burliness. Right? Right. Okay, you dandies that want to look like Hanky Panky, I don't know, Randy Andy. The soul has no sex, actually. But God calls it male. Because God alone is described as male. And God alone can give life. And the male alone gives life. Where do we find female angels or spirits standing by to take male or female babies? It's not so. The issue over male and female is not only a red herring to me, but a very bad one. In other words, it stinks if you can't get that. Yeah. Now, the resurrection certainly raises female bodies as well as male bodies. Brother Branham saw them, even in a spirit form. The theophany. It'll bring forth the... There's no doubt there's male and female, but a spirit. There's nothing about the soul here now. Let's go over here to Matthew 22, 28 to 30. And even in theophonic form, they're perfectly male and female. We're not going to argue that point at all. What we're talking about is intrinsicality. And they are destroying in my books what I term as intrinsicality, essentiality. I think I'm using the words pretty good. They're good words in the dictionary. Now, this is where the woman had seven husbands and they all died. Whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And Jesus answered and said, you to her, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. He said, you don't know your Bibles and you don't know the power of God, what God does about his own word. He said, you haven't got a clue to what's going on. So what's he saying? You make an error because of that. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which is spoken of by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the living. Now, that's what I've been preaching all along. The living God gives his life. He's not interested in sex spirits. No. That's only part of the parcel. The apex, the crux, neither male nor female, but life from God with the living God. I just see another war coming. I just see another idolatry coming. And I've been told me a certain man in Australia just preached a sermon. I'm waiting to get it from Brother Ernie when he gets here. It was said that this is the thing that you must really see, the big thing in the message, the male and the female. And Brother Vail will eventually teach it, then he'll claim it as his own. Brother Vail has just made a disclaimer. Now, if I'm wrong, I've got the guts to tell you, I'll go and apologize. But I want them to prove this wrong. Jesus said it. Sex isn't there. What was the scripture that placed the sex bodies this side of the grave and resurrection only? Certainly, in Genesis 26 to 28, a race who would subdue the world. But they didn't. So sex failed. Yeah. Man failed. God has to take over and do the job. The bodies were for procreation, and the original life of Adam by his created spirit was to make that a sure thing. So they were male and female like all other animals. That's right in the word here. Now let me ask a question. What was marriage to Adam? Was it not Genesis 2, 23 to 24? Let's look at it. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. I'm going to call her woman because she was taken out of me, the man. And he said, for this cause, a man's going to leave his father and mother, and he's going to cleave to his wife, and they're going to be one flesh again. Now, what is he telling us here? What was that? Adam was getting the other part of himself back. That's all. Which was given him, that part given of him to another body as a part of his life. Yeah, reproduce yourself. Amen. What are you, Adam? Well, he said, I'm a man standing here, but I've got everything in order to procreate, but it's in all the wrong places. He said, I'll put it in the right places. Now you're like the rest of the animals. Cow-like, no. Kind life is kind life if it's cow or a bull. Horse life is horse life whether stud or a mare. Yeah. Life of man is life whether it's male or female. But you see, God has a purpose in this thing and he works it according to his own will. Adam was getting the other part of him back. That which was given of him to another body, a part of his life. Will not the marriage to Christ be the same thing? But not getting bodies back that have male and female spirits, as though that is the ultimate. A body that has the life of God, the gene of God in it. So that is the beginning, as I see it. And that's what this sermon's all about. Now listen, I cannot take any part of nature to try to formulate God, to expose him, to reveal him, and to know him. Forget it. The only thing from nature you can get is that God works in continuity. That's exactly what Brother Branham said. He did not express it further. No way. It's what Paul said. You know there is a God because of nature. Nature only proves there is a God. And nature runs in continuity. As nature runs in continuity, neither does God change. God can only be revealed by Himself. And I want to find anything about Mother God and Sister Jesus. Let the Catholics talk about Sister Christopher and Sister Michael. But let it be known, I am not Sister Baker. I have no female spirit, nor a part of a female. But my wife and I are perfectly adapted as Cain was, rather Eve was, and Adam, to procreate and bring forth children. So you can think what you want, Brother so-and-so and the rest of them. Now I'm going to stand right here and tell you, I'm not a hypocrite or liar. Something in me makes me look these things over, and I work them until I realize I have come to a conclusion, best that I know. It would now take something very supernatural, some tremendous dissertation or treatise that Brother Branham has said, particularly after the opening of the seals, to begin to change my mind. Why would anybody want to complicate this message when all it is, Brother Branham said, was simplicity? And when he got through the seven seals, he said, when I preach God in simplicity, I never knew how simple it was. And I said to myself, Brother Branham, I'm glad that you think so. At this point, I cannot concur. But I can tell you now, after all these years, Brother Branham was 100% right. I may not get it all, but I know one thing, when it does come, it is 100% simple, and the simplicity lies in the soul which is of God, and it is never said male or female. Any appellation at all would strictly make it male. In other words, I'm not saying God hands out male souls and female souls. You believe what I say? You don't have to believe what I say, but here's the point. Do you follow what I said? That's what counts. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious eternal Father, God of all of us, today we believe that to be true, that you are God. And you have given us these things explicitly, implicitly. Lord, you've given them at one time veiled, but now clearer than clearer. And Lord, we know that many people say these things which we believed in error for one reason, to aggrandize themselves, to arrogate themselves of certain powers and principles and followings and this and that. But Lord, we have only one thing we desire. If I can point anybody to you, Lord, and to this word, O God, and its correctness, then I have fulfilled my purpose more than enough. And if I am only right, and nobody else is right with me, though I preach it, I am still in favor, your favor, Lord, because only you can bring the souls in. Only you can call. Only you, Lord. You are Lord God. And I, Lord, if I am a tiny mouthpiece, I have more than satisfied my life. And trust, Lord, I have satisfied you to some degree. And whether the people know it or not, they have been amply satisfied, Lord. They have no fight with me. I have no fight with them. All is calm and all is clear and peaceful, because there's only one thing that has the seed to life, and that is your word. I pray it has that life, Lord. And I pray all the people rejoice in it and go their way with anthems, hymn singing, psalms in their hearts, making your name worthy and greater day by day. We exalt thee, O God, and may we continue to exalt thee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. What's that little chorus, we exalt thee? Huh? You know it. Right, sing it. Instead of take the name of Jesus. Start it off there. Come on, you and voice. Who's going to be dead? Start. You're going to have Susan, you're going to have to help your husband, he said. You got it? Okay, we're going to sing it. I might not, but Dave's going to sing it. He's going to play for it. You know that song, I Exalt You, I Exalt You. That may not be the way it starts, because I'm not a song leader. I'm a preacher.